presentation that kind of maybe touches a little bit on where Buck was going, but it's in a way wonderful, elaborate scale. Lois L., who is on our NAA Technology Steering Committee, is going to give us a presentation on future AA technologies post-COVID-19. So I'd love to welcome Lois.
Hi, guys. Is everybody seeing my screen okay? Somebody give me a thumbs up. All right. I'm Lois L. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. That's the place that Doug couldn't remember that's had two NAATWs in the past. I'm currently serving as an admin on the TIAA forum and also, as Carolyn mentioned, the secretary of the NAATW steering committee. So I don't consider myself a technologist. I think of myself as more of a technology communicator or a technology enthusiast. Professionally, I do the type of work that Lisa R. talked about earlier. I'm a user experience researcher and a digital strategist. Basically, I'm the people side of technology. And I'm grateful for the chance to be with all of you today. I kind of wish we were in person, but at the same time, I'm really glad that some of my friends from overseas and in law school are able to attend who maybe wouldn't have been able to come in person. So my session is right at 30 minutes. I'm going to talk fast. I've had 3 cups of coffee, so that probably won't be a problem. My session is on the future AA technologies post-COVID-19. I'm imagining that some of you have seen some of these like post-COVID-19 future pieces, like the future of work and the future of healthcare. And that got me thinking, like, what will AA look like after this time? And how can we as people in technology, in and around technology, be of service? So let's dig right in. Oops. All right. So there's no doubt that for many of us, 2020 is going to be etched in our memories, right? As maybe the most momentous year in our lifetime, it's possible. In the future, the era of COVID-19 will probably be thought of and remembered with other momentous times like the Great Depression and the Great World Wars 1 and 2. And so I guess what I would like to suggest is that the future will not be like the past. Disruption has really forced we as AA members to experiment and change at an unprecedented pace. You know, we're changing rapidly. And yet it seems like at just about every meeting I go to lately, maybe not this group, but at a lot of regular meetings, you'll hear members speculating about when and how we'll go back to normal. And my opinion is we won't be going back to normal. And I'm not sure we should. Rather, there will be a new normal for AA post-COVID is what my idea is. So I grabbed what you're seeing here. It's a timeline, a crisis timeline from a business presentation, but I think it can apply to us too, if you think about it. What we've been doing so far, most of us have been sort of managing continuity. That's when we were putting the signs on the doors and we were calling everybody and we were trying to move our meetings quickly, you know, emergency group consciences. And some of us may still be doing that. We might still just be trying to keep the lights on. Some of us may have moved into recover, you know, sort of trying to learn, trying to share. You know, I think a lot of the sessions before mine talked about those things that we're doing for that. Well, with the exception of the VR one. The VR one has definitely moved into the thrive. And I think that's what I'd like to focus on today. What I hope we can talk about is the third phase of a crisis, how we can thrive, how we can prepare for the new normal. Because I think we do have to do some planning. I don't think it's just going to happen. I think our default mode might be to try to, you know, just stay one day at a time. But I'd like us to think about how we can prepare for the new normal. So in the disaster response community, they like to say build back better. That's sort of a phrase of theirs. And I think that what we can do right now is embrace some changes and use what we're going through during COVID as an opportunity to fix things that have kind of been broken. The choices that AA makes right now, I think they can have an enormous impact on the future of AA. And I think that we, especially we in the technology community, need to be an integral part of these choices. We need to have a seat at the table and we need to be helping with these decisions. I don't want to lose some of the good things that have come into AA as a result of this crisis, or worse, suffer setbacks. I don't want to, you know, some of the people who've joined us virtually, I don't want them to not be able to keep continuing. What I really want us to do is surf the waves of change, right? Not be swept away by them, as one of my favorite technology futurists, Tim O'Reilly, says. So how do we do that? How do we go about making good choices and building back better, especially when those choices have to be made like with wildly uncertain futures in mind? As a way to approach this, I look to what businesses do. I know, I hear all of you, we're not a business, but that doesn't mean that we can't look at what businesses do and take what we like and leave the rest. So scenario planning is a business activity that's used for planning for the future in an uncertain world. And it may be something that we could experiment with. Scenario planning really derives from this observation that given the impossibility of knowing, you know, precisely how the future will play out, a good decision or a good strategy to adopt is one that plays out well across several possible futures. So to find that robust strategy, scenarios are created. And these scenarios are essentially like specially constructed stories about the future. If we did this in AA, we would probably create scenarios like each one modeling a distinct plausible world in which we might someday have to stay sober and carry the message. We don't have time to go into all of how scenario planning works. I wish we could do this today, but we don't. But I think we can get a feel for what it's like by walking through a few potential examples. The way you get started with building scenarios is by identifying a focal issue and exploring key uncertainties with that focal issue. And if we were gonna do this, like say in a workshop or in your local areas, I think we might come up with like the two focal issues that I'm showing on the screen. How might AA change? And the use of technologies, how might our technologies evolve to support that? So we're gonna spend the rest of the time I have in this session sort of exploring key uncertainties and the technologies we might need as they relate to these focal issues. When it comes right down to it, scenario planning really gets started by asking good questions about the future. So I'm hoping that some of the questions that we explore today will at least get us started down the path of thinking about strategies for a new normal in AA. So, like I said, traditional scenario planning starts with identifying the focal issue and then naming some critical uncertainties associated with that. These on the screen are the four that I've come up with. I'm sure there could be others, but let's just kind of talk through those. So first, we're uncertain about the pandemic's effect, right, on traditional ways of carrying the message. We don't know what that's going to look like in the future. We don't know how this time is going to affect that. We are uncertain about the economic impacts to different AA entities post-COVID-19. We don't know what that's going to be. We don't know the effects of using these new channels of communication and information that have sprung up during the pandemic. And finally, we don't know how all the cross-pollination and sharing that has happened during the crisis will affect the culture or structure of AA moving forward. So let's use these uncertainties to start asking some questions about the future. Here's the first one. Okay, so, I mean, we all know this. You've heard about it today. The pandemic has really forced us to adapt how we reach out and interact with newcomers and to people with accessibility needs and how we hold meetings, our ability to carry the message into institutions. If we were gonna do a scenario planning workshop, I think we'd explore some of these questions. For example, what is the newcomer's journey gonna be like moving forward? During lockdown, we've definitely had to devise new ways of welcoming the newcomer to AA, things like in my home group, a digital newcomers packet and using chat to share our phone numbers. I think we would explore that. We would also explore, you know, can we maintain the greater access experienced by people with accessibility needs, you know, in the future? How can we do that? I can tell you that the concept of accessibility has definitely expanded for me. We had a newcomer come to our meeting during COVID, and she was going to her very first vacation sober. And she was, you know, she told us that, you know, if she didn't have online meetings to go to, she might not have been able to get to a meeting because she had small children, she had no car, it was a family vacation, but she was able to keep going to meetings with us throughout her whole vacation and stay grounded. So that's and actually in Ginger's presentation, she mentioned, you know, young moms, you know. So we would explore, can we maintain the ability, you know, can we maintain the greater access that we see now? I think we would ask ourselves, will online groups and hybrid meetings be integrated into AA? And I think we would ask ourselves if we'll start expanding or changing the way we do institutional work. I know in my area it suffered. I've been paying attention to the chat, other people are asking for that. Our county jail is not letting any of us in A lot of the local recovery places, we can't take meetings in there. We are in one treatment center, but they don't show our videos. So I think we'd start asking ourselves that. And as we sort of crafted scenarios, we would then ask, okay, so what technologies might we need to support these scenarios? And I'm just throwing out ideas here, right? But I'm sure, you know, if we were doing this in a real world, we'd come up with a lot of these. Like, we might need better online platforms. I was so excited to watch the VR presentation today, but, you know, because I think we are missing some of the intimacy in Zoom. In fact, our team, the NAATW team, even considered whether or not we should use a different platform for this event, just because it's so hard to have that feel, you know? So I think we would ask ourselves that and we'd start looking at that. I think we would ask ourselves if we need better digital outreach or more digital outreach. I've been paying attention to some of the things that I'm seeing in the PI community on TIAA. You know, we might need to do more, for example, with digital outreach than we have in the past. And we might need tools and technologies to do that. Certainly, I think, you know, this was mentioned earlier, but closed captioning is a technology we might need. It would ideally if it could be real-time closed captioning. I think we might need institutional compliant technology, like, I don't know, maybe there's a Zoom for JPay or something, but we need to think about, like, okay, how are we going to get into institutions, you know, in a scenario where maybe we stay under pandemic for a long time. And of course, I think we might need new types of meeting hardware. You know, we heard a presentation, you know, Royce was talking about some of that, but, you know, it's probably not just the coffee pot and the basket. We might need some other things like big TVs or Oculus headsets. So I think that's what we would do if we were doing this together. In order to explore the second uncertainty, like the impacts on different levels of service, and what we're talking about here is groups, clubs, districts, for example, I think we'd ask ourselves, will some entities collapse or grow, right? You kind of do these extremes in scenario planning due to new digital contribution methods. In my area, we have seen one treatment center already closed down. It was a for-profit treatment center, but they've just plain closed. And I think we would explore how is that, you know, what might happen? We build a scenario like that. I think we'd ask ourselves, will we adopt new ways of supporting services or more affordable ways of doing things, right? Like in my world, that might we might call that like new business models, right? We're already seeing contributions being redirected from like physical spaces to software subscriptions. That might be something that we see. I think, I don't know, we might, I got distracted, you guys. That happens to me. Maybe I think what might happen is that we may see people coming together, groups or services, you know, people might merge and share their treasuries or their rent. You know, we've seen some examples of provisioning technology throughout the crisis, like the, we saw an intergroup that offered its premium Zoom to some of their, you know, local groups. In my area has been able to, host district websites by sharing some of the technology. We heard about that last year at NAATW. So we may see some new kind of ways of supporting services or more affordable ways of doing things. And finally, you know, I think we would ask ourselves, will we change our use of contributions? I definitely think that we're seeing money redirected, right? And I don't know, you know, how we will apply that, but it might be to hardware. Who knows? It might be to better software. And really, I think it might be to paid technical providers. You know, my area is doing that. We are going to pay a online event team to help us host our area assembly. And mostly it's because, you know, the volunteers and the technical volunteers in my area, we're kind of weary, honestly. We've been doing a lot of work and we need some help. So what technologies might we need to support that? Digital contribution options. We heard a lot about that in Buck's talk and some other people talked about that. We might need new ones. We might need more AA compliant ones. We might need these shared service cost models. I can imagine, you know, maybe technologies that help us like share rent, but still keep our own treasuries. we might need to invest in more kind of software as a service, more things that we use on a subscription basis. And then what does that mean? You know, how do we do that? We might need crowdfunding. I had this vision of like passing the pink can, you know, or I don't know. Now I think I want to crowdfund in my group to get us some Oculus headsets. And I definitely think we need more AA-informed technical service vendors because, you know, the more technology we do and the harder it gets, the more strain we put on those of us in the technology community. So I think we might need to do that. Heck, I'm looking at my notes here and I know this is going to be heresy. You guys can come after me afterwards. Maybe we start selling apps instead of literature. I don't know. All right. So what about the effects of these new channels of communication? And what I'm talking about here are definitely the Facebook groups, both the ones that existed before COVID and all the ones that became vital information tools for sharing meeting information. There's WhatsApp groups. We've seen texting lists that have been used to communicate during this time. So I think we would ask ourselves, are we going to keep or expand the use of some of those more immediate forms of communication? I think we'd ask ourselves if we should maintain or operationalize or institutionalize some of the things we've used to share information during the pandemic. I mean, we've seen sharing like never before. I think one of my favorite examples is the Google. There's a friend of mine from overseas actually shared a Google Drive like AA flyer, virtual flyer table with me. And you know, that kind of sharing, I mean, I don't know, it was useful. But we've also seen sharing like from different types of entities, like the San Francisco office, intergroup office in New York, who were sharing like, you know, how to deal with Zoom bombing, how to set up your Zoom, you know, things like that, how to collect contributions online. I think we should keep that. I think we should ask ourselves, what do we do with that kind of thing? We need to ask like, what happens to our existing information channels as a result of these new channels? Like, what about mailings? Are we still gonna do that? My intergroup is looking at stopping that. Are all of our websites still relevant? What about the meeting guide? It's my own personal favorite. I love the meeting guide. I think it's one of the best things we've done in many years, you know, but does it need to change in order to be relevant? Probably, right? We probably need a different way to search for online meetings that's not geolocation based, you know, and I think we'd ask ourselves that and sort of explore that. And we'd say, what does communication at scale look like for AA? I mean, I spoke a couple of years ago on harnessing the wisdom of the crowd at NAATW, and I talked about it then, right? AA still hasn't really figured out how we do many-to-many communications, you know, and I suggested ideas back then, like maybe we need an intranet for AA. I don't know, you know, so what technologies might we need? What I think is as we explored these scenarios, we'd kind of start looking at some technologies we might need. We might need better texting services. We might need better, we need better mailing list tools because I tell you what, I'm pulling out my hair with MailChimp. I would propose we need an innovation platform for AA. For those of you who aren't familiar with that, enterprises use innovation platforms to like get ideas from like everybody in the company. Imagine if we had an innovation platform for AA and we could all sort of build the general service conference agenda, right? We could get ideas from everywhere. We absolutely need better management, knowledge management tools. I've been really disappointed, not disappointed, but there's all this good sharing going on, all these great workshops, but I've sat in some of them and they've said, we're not recording any of this. We're not saving any of this. And it kills me because, you know, I want that access to that information. I don't want it to go away. So I think we might need better ways to, you know, manage our knowledge. And I definitely think we need event aggregation. If you guys are sitting out there with nothing to do and you want to build the next cool AA app, I hope it's an event app that I can sort and, you know, find all these things. Because now I can go to anything, anywhere. It's not just whatever's close to me to drive to. So I think I need something for that. All right, uncertainty number four. We're uncertain about what the effects of cross-pollination on AA culture instruction will be. So I mentioned all the sharing going on. And we heard some of this in earlier presentations too. Lots of workshops, the service meetings that are online, and there's a benefit to hearing how other areas do AA in other countries too. And I can learn from another area. When I can do that, I'm not constantly reinventing the wheel. I mean, that was one of the best things for me about NAATW was before NAATW, we were all alone in these little pockets solving the same problem, but by ourselves. But since NAATW, we've started to be able to share, you know, the TIAA forum has really done this for the technology community. You know, we can sort of build, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And we don't have to redo things over and over again. We can become more creative as a society, right? We can think of new and better solutions. And, you know, I think that maybe we need to take that even further though, right? Will we do this for other areas of service, right? Not just technology. There's opportunity too. I mean, for the first time, I'll tell you what, for the first time, and I heard some of you talk about this, my group has an IR for the very first time. You know why? Because the woman who took the job can attend the IR meetings after her kids go to bed, but before she couldn't leave home. So, you know, I definitely think that we need to keep some of these remote service meetings and workshops because they're, you know, they're doing the deal. People are getting engaged. How will natively online groups fit into the service structure? Will we reorganize ourselves so that the natively online meetings and groups can have representation in our service structure? What does it mean when you're not part of a physical area? I don't know. I think we need to explore that. Will we start serving not where we live, but where we're needed? Here's the question I have. Could a GSO staff member live outside of New York? What would that look like? You know, sometimes I think I hear in my community, like it's like a us and them, right? Oh, those people in New York. Well, what if we are them, right? What if we're everywhere? I think my last question would be, do we need a more truly international service structure? It's called AA World Services, but we've traditionally been sort of US and Canada, and then other countries have their own GSOs, but I don't know. Should the national AA technology workshop become the international AA technology workshop? I know we have people from all over attending. Isn't that more accurate? I mean, we have a global culture now. Maybe we shouldn't be organized by country. I don't know what it would be. Maybe language. Maybe there could be a benefit to sharing more services internationally. So I think we would explore these questions. We'd write some scenarios, and then we'd ask ourselves again, what technologies might we need if some of these things were to come about? Certainly, this has been talked about a little bit. We probably need translation, ideally real-time translation and transcription. This is a small one, but I tell you what, time zone has been killing me, and I'm someone who works remotely, and I work on both coasts, but still, like, I've been getting flyers, and I showed up last weekend at the wrong time for the Unity in Service conference because of time zone, so I think we need some help with that, technologies that can support that. I definitely think we need streaming and hosting services, because as there's more cross-pollination, we need the ability to watch later. I think we need the ability to watch together. And I think, you know, that will only help us grow and share, and we'll be able to cross-pollinate even more, I think, if we can watch these things later. I mean, that's our goal here at NAATW, right? We'll do some of that watching later after this. We've heard a little bit about this today, but we need better voting technologies. I think, you know, the areas are definitely experimenting with that, but groups are still trying to figure it out, right? Like, how are we going to elect our treasurer? You know, we're just kind of hand-holding. We don't really know. So I think we need to explore that. And finally, you know, I think we might need to really get pretty technically savvy and experiment with de-identified audio and video. Those of you who were at NAATW in 2018 saw an amazing presentation by a psychologist and a health public health professional. And they showed us a technology called Session that they were using for their therapy clients that was HIPAA compliant, allowed their therapy clients to attend a session and speak, but you couldn't recognize their voice. And they, in the future, had this idea about doing de-identified video. And I think we need that. I mean, I'm right here emoting strongly with my face as I'm talking. When we replay this, I'm not gonna be there. But their idea was that, you know, maybe even medical professionals and other people could get a sense of a real AA meeting, could almost like attend a real AA meeting that still would not break anonymity, right? That we could record and not break anonymity. So I think that these are just some of the things that I think we need to experiment with. Ooh, I'm watching the clock. Okay. So one of my favorite ideas from scenario planning is that what you're really looking for is just a robust strategy, one that's going to hold up across a range of possible outcomes. Given that the future is not likely to match any one of our scenarios, you know, perfectly, our goal is to decide what actions can we take now that'll position our organization for the best, for whatever way it turns out? So I'm hoping if you hear anything today, it's that even though we don't know what the future is going to be, we don't have to do nothing. I think we have a tendency to take one day at a time a little too literally when it comes to technology service. I think it is possible to prepare for a wide variety of unknown futures, to imagine how we might respond, and to make plans that hold up across a range of possible outcomes. I hope we spend, here's my dream. I have a dream that we spend the next year working on those plans and strategies. And I'd love to be in sessions next year at NAATW, where a variety of attendees present their robust strategies for AA's future. That would make me so happy. Okay, a few closing thoughts. Here's what we can do next. I think sometimes we tell people to get involved in service, but we're kind of vague. I think we need to kind of make some suggestions. First, ask for help. You know, I've heard so much enthusiasm from all of the people who've presented today, and they've talked about all this technology work that's been happening. But I have to tell you, you know, we in technology service are weary right now. We're stretched thin. We have been heroing up and heroing up. We need more people to volunteer in technology roles. We need to be, you know, we need more people to strive for digital literacy. Like, don't just say like, oh, that's, I know it's not you guys, but you know what I mean? Like, oh, you guys are the technology people. We need help. Class B trustee Bo B was quoted in a recent Box 459. He said, when times are soft and comfortable, in AA we fight about common placement. But in times of trouble, people stand up. They show up and they say, give me a bucket and a shovel. I hope they start saying, give me a mouse and a keypad. The next thing we can do is pay attention to news from the future. That's just looking at what's happening. I saw news from the future today when I watched that virtual reality presentation. Pay attention to what's happening. You know, take like work from home. Like when we notice that like Twitter and Facebook are announcing a commitment to work from home even after the crisis, that would be like a news from the future. We can research, experiment, guide, advise, and we can ground ourselves in the traditions because, you know, many of the things we've discussed today, they need to be considered as they relate to the traditions and the concepts. And of course, don't forget the foundational questions, right? Is the spirit of AA continuing through all of this? And the rest of these, is our unity being preserved, challenged, improved? Are we more connected, less connected? Is the essence of what AA is and how AA works surviving? And more than anything, are we staying sober? Are we carrying the message to sufferers during all this crisis that we've been working an awful lot? That was a lot really quick. You guys can tell I had a lot of coffee. I'll leave you with this couple of resources. On the left, these two articles, like very strongly informed. I'm not going to say plagiarized, but I borrowed a lot from two of those talks to give this talk. I used a lot of AA resources also to give this talk. I went to Wired, my favorite, and On Being interview with Kevin Kelly, who I love. TIAA for me is the alpha and the omega. You can find me there at Lois L, Area 38. I hope we keep having this conversation. That's all I have.
Wow. Wow. Lots of food for thought there, Lois. Wow, that was awesome. I can't wait to re-listen to that because that's a lot to digest. A lot of questions did come in for you. What I've done is I've already gone ahead and pasted them into the crowdsource document. So maybe in your spare time, you might throw a thought on some of the questions. Maybe I'll ask you one that's maybe a little bit short, kind of interesting. Do you see specialized AA technical services like specialized AA conference tapers arising, paid businesses which cater to AA?
I think so. I do. I think we might need that, right? I at least the idea of AA informed or people who are familiar with AA already, you know, or maybe the reverse is CPC people that go out and inform traditional vendors about how we do work. Mm-hmm. But I think that might happen. And I think it's needed, honestly. I think it's needed. Yeah. So yeah, I think that might happen. Certainly, you know, I don't know, maybe even products, right? I want some of you to go out and create like a hybrid meeting kit and just mail it to me. My group will buy it.
Hey, that's fantastic. Hey, yeah. All right. Well, wow. It's 5:15, everyone. So all of the questions are on the forum, Lois. So you can peruse those.